Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of my shows, you can go back and listen to the on-demand section at any time. Well, today I'm interviewing producer, director, and actor Rex Sykes, who has worked on Girls Gone Dead as a producer, is currently directing a TV pilot called Serum, and has a lot of other projects in the works. And I think I have him on the line. Let me check here. Let's see. Rex, are you there?
I'm here. How are you today?
Hi. Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Great. Well, thanks for being on the show. I kind of want to start with Girls Gone Dead. It's getting a lot of buzz, and I know you're a producer on the show. As a producer, what were your responsibilities? How did you get involved in this?
Well, I got involved because a friend of mine, director Michael Hoffman, and his wife came up with this project, and they called me and asked me if I would jump on board early in the process. And I said, yeah, sure. I mean, he's a friend. I wanted to support him. Things changed around a bit, and different people were added on, and I came on. Michael and Ryan D. were executive producers and producers, and then Michael and Aaron Wells directed it. I came on as a co-producer and as the line producer. And the line producer is the nuts and bolts guy, somebody who controls the budget and tells you what you can spend money for, what you can't spend money for, and things like that. And the producer, you know, is part of a creative process. You get involved early on in pre-production and oversee hiring and creative development and casting and things like that. I worked remotely. They asked me if I could be in Florida for 3 months, and I couldn't. I could be in Florida for about 2 months, so I came in about a week before shooting, but I worked remote. They would Skype me or they would send me emails, and I would consult back and forth that way. And then I came in a week before production and stayed until the end of the year. They did some extra shooting after I left. I couldn't be involved. I was on to other projects by that time, and they finished up the movie in 2011. And it just came out in July, and, yeah, it's been making waves all over the place. It's pretty darn cool.
Yeah. What do you think is the secret to the success of this film? Because it has done very well.
I think that Michael and the powers that be were just brilliant in putting together a lot of different elements to niche audiences. For example, there's the Playboy penthouse connection and the penthouse cuts. There's Tony Batman, you know, who's quite a character. There's Ron Jeremy and he's got a huge following. And I know you thought I was going to say something different, but he's got a huge following. And there's the wrestling connection with Jerry Lawler. There's Nico McBrain, great guy, by the way, with heavy metal and Iron Maiden. There's the Howard Stern connection with Beetlejuice and Sal Gouvernail,
right.
And Asbestos Phelps, has a cult following in indie movies. So it was geared. I mean, it was literally, I think, very smartly done in that it targeted different groups of people who are all fans of these different people and different genres that they work in. And it brought it all together around one particular story about five or so really kind of hot young women, bearing breasts and doing all that kind of stuff in an 80s throwback retro slasher comedy movie. And so it's the ingredients. It was very smartly done.
And, of course, Linnea Quigley was in it, who I interviewed the other day.
Yes. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Scream Queen. Now, are there going to be any
other screenings? Yeah, so many. I mean, there's so many people in it that it's hard to mention. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Are there going to be any other screenings coming up down in Florida that you know of for the film?
You know, I thought they were going to do another one, but I don't know. I didn't make the premiere. It was, one of those things where I couldn't get there. I wish I could have, but I didn't. I saw it later. And it would be really cool if there was another screening for people, that they could gather in a theater and cast and crew or anyone could get together. By the way, I have to say that the cast and crew on that film were absolutely lovely. I enjoyed them so much, each and every single one of them, in their own different ways. It was a delight to be able to work with them. I hope I get the opportunity for them to either work with me or me with them again. sometime in the future. And Michael and his wife are great people, and I just appreciate everybody.
Now, where are you located?
Yeah, this is crazy. I am in the Midwest. I'm raising my children. I'm a divorced dad, and because of arrangements, my children are in the Midwest. So I'm here with them as opposed to where I would be otherwise, which is Los Angeles. So I go back and forth.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of get to travel all over the place to do different things. Because aren't you in Connecticut right now?
No, I'm not. That threw me by tracks. No, I'm actually in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
So, yeah, I do. I get to travel. I get to go around, and sometimes not as much as I like because I'm besides my director, producer, or actor duties, you know, I am a dad, and so I spend as much of my time with my children as possible. I can work out of my house when I'm not on the set, and so they are with me, and it's the joy and the most incredible part of my life is being, you know, a dad to my kids.
How did you originally get into the business? Because I know you were at, I want to talk also about Massacre at Central High in a second, but
sure.
Was that shot in Milwaukee?
Which?
That movie? Massacre at
what?
Central High. Where was that shot?
Oh, no. I lived in Los Angeles. I mean, I've lived here since my kids are growing up.
I was
going to say. So, you know, and they're small. They're both 10 and 14. So I've been here for, you know, over a decade, you know, or more. But, you know, my home, as far as I sold my house. I gave up my apartment in Los Angeles. I had two things that I moved here. But, you know, L.A. is where my heart is. I love the desert, the ocean, the mountains, you know, the ambience of the city, the industry, the fact that I can go into any coffee shop anywhere. And I know that everybody's in the industry.
Right.
You know, we're in
right.
Milwaukee. If I see somebody that I think is right for a part in a movie, and that doesn't just mean she's a hot chick. You know, it could be a guy, it could be a girl, mm-hmm. It could be anybody. And I go, wow, I wonder. 99.9% of the time, they have not even entertained aspirations of being in the film business. So
It's
the complete reverse. But having said that, in Milwaukee, there is a great talent pool of both in front of and behind the camera people. I'm working with some right now on Serum, and bless their hearts, they are an incredibly dedicated, wonderful group of people, both, again, cast and crew. I am so lucky in that regard. But I got into the business, going back to your question, I got into the business, I was mm-hmm. 4 years old, I was sitting in my mom's lap watching Duck Soup, the Marx Brothers, you know, and I want to do that, you know, and I loved comedy, and I watched all the Marx Brothers movies and the Bowery Boy movies and, you know, all the movies, film noir, anything, you know, I could as a kid, and they had put me in dancing classes about the time I was three in acrobatics, and so I did that until I was about 12, and I started, I think, my first acting class at 4 or 5. And I was in the Nutcracker Suite and, you know, and things like Kiss Me, Kate, you know, I mean, you know, musicals and plays and everything. But I really wanted to be in film and television. And I, you know, grew up playing that I was the man from Uncle or James Bond or I Spy or any number of these people and loved the Frankenstein and the Universal, you know, Dracula and things like that. So by the time I was a teenager, you know, I just decided to pursue it professionally. Joined workshops in Los Angeles and started doing non-union movies. And
I
joined SAG when I think I was 18 or 19, and then Massacre at Central High. I believe I was 21 or 23 when I did that. I don't remember.
Tell me about that movie. That looked like a lot of fun to be a part of.
Massacre at Central High, it was fun to be a part of, and I think that we had a great rapport with everyone on the set, and I made dear friends, and four of those friends have passed away since then. So out of 13 cast members in the movie, there's 9 of us remaining. And some of those I haven't spoken to in years, and others I'm in touch. In fact, last, I think, November, I arranged for a reunion of sorts with Daryl Morey, who starred as David, Jeffrey Winner, who was Oscar in the movie. He was the silent man who never said a word. Peter Dale, who's a director-producer now, was makeup on that movie. Myself, who was Rodney, and the director, Renee Dalder. For some of those guys, was the first, you know, time that they'd seen Renee in many, many years. Renee and I have stayed in touch over the years. David and I have stayed in touch. Daryl and I have stayed in touch. Jeffrey and I have stayed in touch, although we had lost each other for some time, but we reconnected a year or two ago through Facebook, so that was incredible. Tom Logan, mm-hmm. who plays Harvey in the movie, and I are in touch. But I haven't seen Bobby Carradine in a long time. Andrew Stevens and I are in touch. And we don't have any idea what happened to Dennis Court. So if anyone listening knows where Dennis is, last I heard he was in San Pedro being a dad. But he played Arthur in the movie. Kimberly Beck and I stay in touch.
Yeah. He had a really interesting character. I liked his character.
Who's that?
Arthur.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah, with the hearing aid. Yeah, he did. Uh-huh. And it was a fun movie to make, and I think we were all young, we were all stupid, we were all innocent, there were all sorts of that. After a long day on the set, we'd go to dinner and hang out. But as things are in Los Angeles, you make these fast and firm friendships, and then you go on to other projects, and so you may or may not see each other quite as much. Kimberly, I think, went on to a series. Lonnie and Grady went on to Eight is Enough. And, was part of that series. And so she got very busy. And, Rainbow Smith, mm-hmm. bless her, went on to other movies. So, you tend to, and L.A. is huge. I mean, people don't realize how big Los Angeles is. And I don't mean just the city, but the entire area is so spread out that sometimes it's hard to see people on a regular basis. But most of us have managed to stay in touch now for some 30 years.
Did that film kind of propel you into other projects? Was it kind of a starting off point, you up?
Not for me, maybe
like
for others. Not for me, no. I struggled along and hodgepodge and shot myself in the foot numerous times, turned things down I should have accepted, was rejected for things that I wanted to do, that kind of thing. I became kind of like an angry young actor for a while. And people pissed me off, and I wouldn't hesitate to let them know. And you can't do that. You just cannot do that. You have to have thicker skin. You have to realize it's a business. You got to treat it like a business, and can't take it so personally. But Massacre, is a fun thing, and it's a surprise. I mean, in a way, I mean, none of us would know that 30 years later people still talk about Massacre at Central High, and that it's become the cult thing that it is, and that it was
mm-hmm.
One of the top 20 or 10 New York Times best film list, and Roger Ebert liked it, and I forget all the accolades that were piled onto this movie. And if people haven't seen it, it's tough to get a hold of nowadays, but you can still do it. And we were trying very actively to get it re-released, but there's powers that be are not working in favor of that right now, but hopefully someday that'll happen. I know there are studios interested in re-releasing it, but it's getting other people who own the rights to actually release it.
Yeah. Now, if you had a time capsule and you were able to go back in time, but what would you do differently as an actor now that you have some hindsight?
What a great question. Well, I addressed that a little bit before. You got to be friendly. You got to be positive. You got to do everything and anything you can. You work for free. You work for low pay. You volunteer. You do whatever you need to make the connections. You go to the parties. I mean, I refused to. I went to parties, but I mean, I refused it. To me, it seemed like a game, and I'm like, I'm not going to play the Hollywood game. I was too much into being James Dean when I wasn't James Dean, and trying to be a maverick.
Your character.
Well, what you got to do is got to understand who you are, and you got to understand your place in the universe. And that universe can be the entire universe, which is a good place to understand, but also the business universe. And for me, it was like I always thought I was somebody other than who I was, and I was trying to prove things to people that I didn't have to prove, and let people like you for you. You want people to discover who you are, because that's what you ultimately have to offer. And if you're trying to be James Dean or Marlon Brando or Brad Pitt or somebody, or Jennifer Aniston or somebody that you aren't, then you cloud the issue, and it makes it harder for people to cast you and realize, your true potential. So if I had to do it all over again, I would be my authentic self. I would be the nice guy that I truly am inside, I believe, and let people see that. And not be so hot-headed. And I'd let my agents handle all the disasters. That was another thing. I would call up a producer and go, I'm going to kick your butt because of what you did to me. When that's the agent and the manager jobs.
Uh-huh.
And so you need to. You really need to understand. You've got to be very business savvy, because it's. And that was here. In a nutshell, a lot of people like myself wanted to be the best actor we could ever be. you know, not necessarily get an Academy Award, but, you know, you want the respect of your peers and all that kind of stuff. But you forget that this is a business first, and you have to approach it as a business. It's the business of acting. It's the business of producing movies. We're literally manufacturing a product, and actors are part of that process. They aren't everything. And so you understand that, and you approach it as a business, as opposed to, you know, being a starving artist, you know, that is suffering for their art. Because, and if you listen, you know, I do a show too, and you do too,
yeah.
And if you listen to casting directors, producers, and directors who talk, they'll all say, you know, you radiate who and what you are. So if you're desperate, if you're angry, if you're insecure, if you're shy, if you're scared when you walk into that room, they spot it, and that may not be what they need for the character. If they need that for the character, then maybe you get the job. If you're also fun to be with.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not less than glorious most of the time, that reputation will precede you too. And I'm not saying that I wasn't a total jerk or anything like that. I may be painting myself a little bit darker than it truly was, but I do that to emphasize the point that be on time. We just did a casting session yesterday in Milwaukee. If we say come in at 3 o'clock, you know when they come in? 2:59. Maybe they come in at 3:03. If you're in Los Angeles, you know when they come in? 1 o'clock. You know, they know that they need to get there early, you know, in order, or they come in at, you know, 2:30 or something. They know they need to be there early in order to be on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the difference between being a true professional and understanding the industry and having an industry. Whereas in Milwaukee, we don't have that level of professional industry. Not that the people aren't professional, but we don't have that everyday grind, you know, of in and out auditions where you need to know protocol and set protocol and all that kind of stuff. So I talked for a long time.
Now you recently played a killer in Unusual Suspects: Blood Trail for Discovery.
Right.
What is it like to prepare for a role like that? For any kind of role that you've done, that's kind of the evil
side.
Well,
oddly enough,
about.
Most of my career, I've played killers or drug addicts or rapists or you know, bad people. I've always wanted to be the guy that gets the girl and actually kisses the girl, you know, without forcing her. I mean, that's just a dream of mine someday, you know. And then I'll be, you know, this like toothless grandpa, you know, going, "Oh, come here." Yeah. But it was kind of a recreation, so it was interesting in that there wasn't a whole lot of preparation I could do because I learned on the set literally from the detective that arrested the killer who this person was. And what this person was about. And so I would have moments, you know, where I'd say, well, how did he respond to this situation? And they'd say, well, this is how it happened, and it's unlike what we're doing now, or this is how it happened, and we're recreating it, you know, similarly. That role, for preparing for that role, there wasn't, like I said, a whole lot of preparation. It was just, you know, the guy was a sicko, apparently. I mean, you know, from what I could understand, he had some problems and he did some really nasty stuff, and yet nobody thought he was a sicko.
Uh-huh.
Which is too sadly too frequently the case. And so, you know, he's kind of this odd guy apparently in the work surrounding, but he's not somebody that people shunned. And so, in preparing for that, I just kind of could be anybody. When it came to doing the other stuff that was done in so many different kind of snippets and different close-ups that I don't, you know, it wasn't like I had to emote greatly, you know, to convey, you know, killer's rage or anything like that. But other parts, I mean, there's preparation that goes into it. One of the movies that I produce and I star in called Spade County Massacre, there's a lot of preparation went in for that role. I can't really talk too much about it because the movie hasn't come out yet, but where I play a sheriff. And the question becomes, is the sheriff a good guy or a bad guy? You know, and so, you know, walking that line and yeah, I'm a good guy, but, you know, you've got to kind of...
So you just gave something away there.
Pardon me?
You just gave away that you're a good guy, huh?
Well, maybe not. Maybe I'm lying.
Maybe not. Okay.
Maybe I'm something else. In Broken Orbit, which is another one of the movies I noticed that you mentioned, I play a research scientist who's helped create all this kind of stuff, and we're looking at aliens who have come to the edge of the universe, and they're watching us, and I think they're up to no good. So that, I'm playing this kind of quirky, you know, research scientist. So research for that is how do you be quirky? How do you be smart? You know, you've got some dialogue sometimes that's a little technically laden, and you know, and at the same time, I'm kind of a hothead. So, you know, trying to convince people of my position, and so preparing for that versus preparing for. I'm the kind of person who believes you have an on and off switch, and so you do as much research into, you know, a personality as you possibly can. You know, you wrap yourself in it, you imbibe, you think the thoughts that lead you. And that's the big key, I think, in acting, is you have to be thinking the thoughts that lead you to do something. You know, so, you know, I try and find out what this person is thinking, you know, and then it's me, ultimately me, playing the part. So it's what am I thinking at the moment I'm doing these things? What are the thoughts that impel me to action? And then do those. And then it's kind of up to the camera to catch, you know, all that, you know, catch that inner working without telegraphing it, without giving it away, without overacting, you know, as if you were on a stage or something.
Mm-hmm. And you were just in a movie called Horrid, which was just released to DVD. What was your role in that film?
I played Dr. Robertson in that film. Again, I'm a doctor. I am researching viruses and their killer viruses. And in this case, virus is unleashed. It's a deadly virus. And in fact, a military guy gets infected and he comes, breaks into my house, and he infects me with the virus, thinking, well, if I'm infected, I'll work quicker to find a cure. But there is no cure, and people become flesh-eating zombie-like creatures.
The zombie audience will love that. We'll have a lot
of
zombie films, so.
Right. So people end up flesh eating, you know, and there's a secret in the movie that I can reveal. I mean, it's not that the virus, he thinks that we're infected, you know, kind of thing. It wasn't the virus. It was the cure that started all of this. So, led to it. So we don't know, you know, how to cure it, because it was the cure that became the problem. It started devouring, you know, so.
And that sounds a little bit similar, maybe, to the TV pilot that you're doing called Serum.
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, when you think of Serum and you think of something, you know, the title itself leads it to that question. That's my segue, anyway.
Well, let me say that right now we are fundraising for Serum on Indiegogo, and people can go to Indiegogo, you know, Indiegogo.com/Serum, S-E-R-U-M, and they can donate. We've got great rewards and great perks, and we need all the help we can to pay our cast and crew. And movie making, you know, around the world is very different than it used to be in Hollywood, where money raising, you know, was in some ways easier than it is today. But please visit our campaign, get some rewards, and help us out. Serum is about a young man who's divorced, and he has a young daughter, and they have an incredible relationship, but he has a horrible relationship with his ex-wife based on something that's happened in his past. And she's suing for custody of his daughter, and she's going to get it. And he's out of a job, and his car is gone, and he's really at the end of his rope. And he happens to see a commercial for a drug trial where you can go in, and they have these around the country right now. You can get paid to be in a clinical research trial. And so he opts to go into that, and that's when all hell breaks loose. And so it's really about this guy's decision about how does he keep his family, he and his daughter, together, and what lengths will he go in order to preserve that relationship, and will he or will he not, in fact, make it through this drug trial. And it becomes very horrific. And it's a suspenseful thriller. It's beautifully shot, and it's looking absolutely fantastic. We have on the Indiegogo campaign and on the Facebook campaign for Serum the movie. Now, it is a TV pilot. It says on Facebook it's a Serum the short, because it came from an idea that I and the co-writer Sam Kozel had about drug trials, and then we decided this is too good to make it a short film. We got to make it a pilot or a feature. And by that time, though, Facebook only allows you to get so many friends on a page before they lock it in and you can't change the name. So people clamored to our page right away, and then we were stuck with Serum Short Movie or whatever it is on Facebook. But it is a pilot, And again, marvelous cast and crew, and they're all pretty much local people. So we're having Tony Batman is coming in from Florida. He was in Girls Gone Dead.
Oh, wow.
He's going to be in a scene and play a role in Serum. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, we're going to be shooting.
How many days was the shoot? Because it seems like it was a long shoot.
Serum?
How long was
the shoot? Well, movie making again in Milwaukee, the way we're doing it this time, is very different than I'm used to, where, you know, I think the total amount of days for Girl Gone Dead was like 40 days. And I think I worked 26 or 30 of those days, you know, kind of consecutive, you know, with a Sunday off. Where here, we're shooting weekends and during the week, because of the nature of where I'm living with cast and crew, other people have regular jobs, and so we have to shoot around their schedules, and boy, is that tough. But we're at day 10 or more with Serum, which is, you know, many movies are shot under 14 days. We're gonna exceed that, I know, but probably going to shoot into December, you know, at different weekends. We've got some scenes that we have to do. We were very close to wrapping it. I mean, we are totally very close to wrapping it. You know, we're beginning the rough on in the edit soon, and we're going to pull together a glimpse of Serum where people can see some of the footage. It won't be an official trailer or anything like that. On Indiegogo, if you look in the gallery, there's great stills. We've got some great stills, more to come.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the first day, if you looked at the first day footage, clips from Serum. That's just what we did in day one.
Okay.
You see it.
Wow.
So that was nine days ago.
Are you trying to pitch this?
That was 3 months ago.
Oh, wow. Are you trying to pitch this to a network already, or are you waiting till it all gets finished, or how are you doing
that? I'm sorry, what?
Are you trying to pitch this to a network already, or are you waiting until the whole thing is complete?
No, we haven't started pitching it yet, but what happened was we put the first day footage up, and I had so many distributors come out of the woodwork saying, I want to distribute that if it's a feature film, or, you know, let me know what kind of project it is. And so I've been in touch with them, and I'll say, well, I'll let you know. And, you know, quite honestly, we can continue to shoot and turn it into the feature. I mean, we know what the feature is. We know what the pilot is. We know what the pilot series will be, you know, the Bible for the series. And it's got a lot of good twists and turns, a lot of backstories, a lot of interesting characters. So there's a lot of different ways, you know, we're able to go with it. I am absolutely thrilled and pleased with the project. I truly am. And I can't wait until it's cut together. I can show it, you know, that I can say, hey, here it is. This is Serum. And the, you know, if a network didn't buy it, you know what? Well, then maybe we present feature film.
Yeah, and you have other projects that you're working on right now too. You've got several. What is it? Serial Daters Anonymous and
Serial Daters
Woody
Anonymous.
World, yes. That you're producing, right?
Well, Woody's World was a pilot I produced back in 2010 for director Ron Coleman. It was the first ever animated live-action sitcom using motion capture technology. So it was like Avatar in the sense that instead of a human going into an Avatar-like creature animated world, we have an animated creature come to the real world, and that would be Woody as the animated character. And it was using motion capture technology. That's in post. I'm off that project now. You know, I mean, they're doing whatever they're doing with it, and I'll find out about it. Spade County Massacre is still being cut. I'm hoping the director will cut a little bit more, and distributors are very eagerly waiting for that. I have a movie that was a feature. I think they're cutting to pilot length. Was called Port of Call. About all I can say about it is it's this quirky interdimensional comedy about gods from other dimensions and other times, you know, coming into a bar that I own. I play Dirty, the bartender, and they come through my bar, and, you know, metaphysical, universal havoc ensues. but I'm producing a movie that a brilliant young director, Chris Emmons, is directing called Serial Daters Anonymous. It's a screen ballet he wrote, and we are in the process of beginning to cast outside of Los Angeles, or inside of Los Angeles, where the casting is, where we're seeking our talent right now for that movie. I'm attached to direct another movie, which we started casting on yesterday, looking for actresses, currently called Bipolar. It's a true story written by a gentleman who's is what the title is about a man's trying to keep his, it's more like Serum in some ways, about a man trying to keep his family and his life together, facing the challenge of bipolar. So there's another one that I'm working. I mean, there's if you're a producer, you've got a bunch of different projects going all at one time.
Uh-huh.
And so I've got that and a couple that, you know, that I'm trying, three or four more that I'm wanting to direct and potentially attached to and things like that. So
how do people find out more about your projects and about you? Do you have a website you want to give out?
Yeah, well, they can go to RexSykes.com. That's my Rex Sykes Movie Beat website. And there, well, they'll find out about a little bit about me and about my guests on my show, Rex Sykes Movie Beat. But the Facebook page, Rex Sykes Movie Beat, and my Rex Sykes profile, and I have trouble adding friends on Rex Sykes, but they can go to Rex Sykes Movie Beat and like the friends page. There's that. I have another website called Wisconsin Film Jobs, Keep Wisconsin Film Friendly. Because we had an issue with the incentives and our governor at the time took them away, and the current governor hasn't done anything to reinstate them, and nobody seems to be working very hard to attract the movie business here except some of the filmmakers in this town. We had a movie shoot here in 2009, No God, No Master, that came in and shot in theory under the film incentives, but while they were here, the governor retroactively disqualified them from the film incentive. So it was kind of a bait and switch. They got here and got screwed, and finally the government sort of made good on their, you know, what they owed them kind of stuff and everything. But if ever there was a champion for the film incentives in the state of Wisconsin, it's the movie No God, No Master, directed by a great friend of mine and a great director, Terry Green. Terry's currently in Illinois. Most of his movies have been made with Academy Award nominated or Academy Award talent. He's got four or five movies. He's a consummate filmmaker, storyteller. And that movie is going to be screening in Milwaukee on the 7th of October at the Milwaukee Film Festival, which is coming up in Milwaukee for about 10 days. It's a wonderful festival.
Okay.
But I got to make a pitch for something. The Flyway Film Festival in Pepin, Wisconsin is October 18th to the 21st. I have nothing showing there. I'm just going. It's a marvelous festival in one of the nicest little slices of western Wisconsin called Pepin. And check out flywayfilmfest.org. It's the Flyway Film Festival, and check into that. People came from France last year, in New York, and L.A., and all over to these little towns to watch movies. Ted Hope was there, Gary King, and some other people you'd recognize. And so we've got that going. We've got the Milwaukee Film Festival here. I've got Paul Weber, an L.A. casting director, coming into Milwaukee on the 13th of October to run a workshop for actors and directors so that actors can get professional advice from a top casting director. He's cast Spartacus. He did the entire Battlestar Galactica franchise, bunch of movies, everything else. He's a producer, so he's going to be here. People can find out about that from my Facebook pages. They can go to my RexSykes.com and find. So we got a lot of stuff happening here in Milwaukee,
great,
and people are trying to make movies all over the place, and you can all find out about it either at Rex Sykes Movie Beat, the official website, or on Facebook, or Wisconsin Film Jobs. And then the Serum site on Facebook is Serum the Movie, or Serum the Short Film on
great,
Facebook.
All right.
And our Indiegogo campaign.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, a little
bit
of everything. But, I mean, it's been amazing.
Well, I thank you for being on the show today. We're running out of time. But, you know, when these things get going and get done, we can bring you back at some point and have you come back on again.
I so appreciate that. You are a fabulous host. You've asked absolutely wonderful questions. I've had a thrill being here. It's always nice to be asked to come on a show, and your show is a really, truly wonderful show, and it's a great value to filmmakers everywhere around the world. So keep up the good work. Thank you so much for having me, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
All right. Well, thank you, Rex. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that was Rex Sykes, and he gave you a lot of different websites there that you can go back. If you missed any of them and you say, darn it, I wish I would have written that down, you can play this over again anytime you want and write those websites down. Also, if you've missed any of my other shows, you can go back and listen to the archives under On Demand. Just scroll down on the Blog Talk Radio website there, where you probably are right now. Also, guys, remember, my show has been nominated for an award for Best Web Show here for the Women in the Arts Miami, which I'm very excited The award presentation is tomorrow night, Monday, September 24th. If you're here in Florida, or even if you're somewhere else, you want to come on down. The event is going to be held tomorrow night. I can't believe it's tomorrow already. September 24th at Purvey down in Hallandale, and it's going to be a huge event. I'm so excited. I think I said that before. And there's going to be a fashion show. There's going to be art. There's music. DJ XL is going to be there. There's dancing. There's, I mean, it's just going to be incredible. It's going to be amazing networking. People are coming from other areas like Los Angeles to this. It's going to be huge. So if you haven't purchased your tickets, you want to get your tickets now. Go to www.womeninthearts.miami.com and you can find out more about it and get your tickets and show up. It should be a very interesting night. I'm very excited, and I think so. I've said that like 5 times. And I will be reporting all the good news next week on the show about what happened and talk a little bit about that. I can't wait. Also, remember, guys, that the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival is coming up soon next month. If you want to get some details on that, you can go to www.fliff.com. Also, now is the time to reconnect on my website, which is called Independent Streak. It's www.independentstreak.ning.com. And it's been a while since I mentioned the site, but basically it's kind of like Facebook for filmmakers. It doesn't have the chat component, but it does have profiles of a lot of directors on there who were members in the very beginning. I think there's about 200 members on there. It is locked for membership right now, so you can't be a member, but you can go on and you can still communicate with all the directors that are on there. And I post a lot of events up there. I'm just starting to post some stuff about FLIF and about the Women in the Arts Awards and other things that are going on. That site is going to be bombarded with information very soon because as FLIF comes along, I'm going to be having reviews and interviews with directors and party pictures, all kinds of stuff that you are definitely going to want to check it out, especially if you want to be in the know of what's happening for the film festival. In addition, please go on to Facebook and like my Indie Streak page, I-N-D-I-E-S-T-R-E-A-K, on Facebook, because I will be putting things up there as well. Remember that the L-Dub Film Festival is going to be here in Lake Worth next weekend. And if you're not familiar with that, you can go to the, just Google Lake Worth Playhouse, and the site pops up for them, and just look for the film festival there. In fact, I think it's /L-Dub. It's how you go directly into that, L/DUBB. And they're going to be having some locally made pictures. Also, Alex Hyde-White is going to be in town with his film that he did, where he created a production of Hamlet. And I actually interviewed Alex Hyde-White on my show. He was one of my first interviews when he was here for the Palm Beach International Film Festival. And if you missed that interview, you can go again through the archives and find it and find out about that production and then go see it if you're in town here in Lake Worth because he will be here and he will be showing the film. I don't have the date in front of me, but it is at the L-Dub Film Festival. So check that out as well. Okay, guys, I've rattled on long enough, and I will be back next Sunday at 1 p.m. You never know who I'll be interviewing next. So stay tuned. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.